91.1 WHFC. You're on the Owl's Nest here with Matt, and I have a special guest here with me, all around great guy, great artist, Jim McFarlane, professor of art and design here at Harford Community College. Jim, thanks so much for coming in tonight.
You're welcome, Matt, and it's good to see you.
Hey, it's always good to see you, my good sir. And Jim, there's just so many reasons for students and everybody else out there to take an art course here at HCC. Can you tell me about some of the concentrations here at the college?
Sure. We have four concentrations in the art and design program at Harford Community College. We have digital arts, graphic design, fine art, and photography. And all of our students in each of those concentrations take a core of five classes so that the students are getting the basic foundation in art making across all disciplines before they choose their concentration. An additional benefit to that is that the students really start to get to know each other, and they start to have a cohort of people that they can work with and relate to and talk to and share stories with. So it's a good foundation across the discipline to both the core classes and then also the focus in the concentrations.
It sounds like they develop a lot of peer relationships too. A lot of peer critiquing goes on. Is that safe to say?
Oh yeah, there is a lot of peer critiquing, and also there's a tremendous amount of peer support that I see. And the students will help each other in terms of talking about artwork. Sometimes they'll help each other in being studio assistants. I've seen that happen. I've seen that in my sculpture class where classmates will help each other. So it's great. We're pretty proud of our program. We think we're doing well by the students. We think that our students get a great foundation to get ready to transfer. So all the students work together as a group of majors. They are getting to know each other. They're meeting each other. They're studying together. And then they figure out what their disciplines are and move in those directions.
And it seems that they're moving in plenty of directions. You were talking to me about some of the different universities that they're transferring to. What are we finding that some of our students are doing here?
Well, we have transfer agreements with a handful of regional institutions. So those transfer agreements set up situations where our students can move very seamlessly from our program into those programs. We have a transfer agreement with MICA, Maryland Institute College of Art. We have a transfer agreement, a brand new one, with the Philadelphia Academy of Fine Art, PAFA. We also have established transfer agreement, an agreement with Towson. And Towson is one of the places that many of our students go. It's kind of the local U, as you know. So we get a lot of students who transfer in that direction. But we also have students, depending on their discipline and concentration, that go to UMBC. Just recently, one of our students was talking to me. He had applied to the Savannah College of Art and Design and found out last week that he'd been accepted. He's headed down there for animation. He's pretty excited.
Oh, that's great.
And we've had students go in many different directions, many different universities, four-year institutions. We've had a lot of students who have gone on to study beyond their bachelor's degree. So we feel pretty good about the preparation that we give to our students as they move from here on to their next endeavor.
It's always good to trace a student's progress and to watch them evolve as an artist, right? From their humble beginnings to, the sky's the limit, right?
Right. I just saw one of our former students just graduated from the University of Delaware with his MFA, and I just saw on Instagram that he's out in Iowa teaching now and making work. So that's pretty cool. We have, speaking of MFAs, our program, we have an Associate of Arts here and an Associate of Fine Arts here. So the core classes are the same, but that allows students to kind of focus their work, focus their decision-making in terms of their transfer.
Now, It's been a while since I've put brush to canvas or pencil to paper. If I wanted to brush up on my own art skills, do we have credit courses and non-credit courses for, you know, getting your feet wet again? Like, let's say I want to enrich myself. How would I go about doing that? You know, kind of relearning my basics.
Matt, that's a great question. So we have both at Hartford Community College. We have both credit courses in our art and design program, and that's what we've been talking about primarily. And those courses are open to anybody in the community. Often we get the question, do I have to be an art major to take a course? No, you don't have to be an art major. You can come in and build those skills you're talking about.
Oh.
If you've never had a drawing class, we have drawing classes. We have a drawing class for non-majors that is part of, it's not part of the art and design program, but it's taught by the art and design faculty. We also have non-credit courses that are taught through the community ed programs. And so there are lots of opportunities for people in the community who are not looking for a degree to come in and gain those skills that you were talking about.
Or in my case, rehone those skills that have been not necessarily lost, because it's kind of like riding a bike. You know, once an artist, always an artist. It's in your veins. But, you know, sometimes I just don't have the amount of time that I'd like to anymore. And I guess that just happens as we get older. But, you know, I've definitely been looking for an outlet, you know, for a way to get those skills back. And it sounds like you have those options available to the whole entire public. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, and that's one good thing that that's one of many good things, you know, that the art program has to offer the community and the students. So if anyone's out there, if you have some art skills and you need them to perhaps be enhanced or just rehone your craft, you know, come see Jim McFarlane, because he's going to help you get the skills back up and running. So there's drawing, there's painting, there's ceramics.
We've got sculpture classes, we've got photography classes, graphic design classes, digital arts classes. So all of those are in our studios in the art and design program.
I'll be the first to admit I like more, I guess, quote unquote, traditional art, you know, pen and paper, you know, ink, painting. Now, digital is my weakness. My older brother's a graphic designer. He runs circles around me. He can make Photoshop sit up and dance. But, you know, the Adobe Suite, it's a rather daunting program if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, one of the ways I like to think about that, it's a very complex program. There's a lot that you can do. Programs, it's the suite, it's a series of programs. It's very complex. There's a lot you can do, but just like anything else, you start at the beginning. You start learning
right.
Some basic tricks and techniques, and then as you need to learn something else or you want to design something else, you start to learn the skill sets that are involved in that. So what I would say is, if you are interested in something like that, you don't have to have a skill set coming in. We'll teach you. Same thing in ceramics. I teach ceramics and sculpture. So one of the things that happens is I often get students who come in and they'll say, I haven't done ceramics since I was in middle school. And that's okay, because we're going to start with some foundational techniques and skill sets. And the possibilities are endless. People are doing all kinds of things in clay, with glazes, forms, shapes, surfaces, and we'll get you started and then get you headed down that path. In fact, one of the things that has happened in that studio is we have a number of students who return from the community. We have a class that is called Ceramics Workshop, that once you have progressed through our series of ceramics classes, you can come in and take the ceramics workshop. And in that class, what we have is a number of people who are working on what I say is their own work. So they have their own interests, their own direction, and then the class comes together and talks about issues that are common to all of the students, or they might have demonstrations that the students are interested in seeing that will help their own work progress. And a number of those students, as well as some other students in our program certainly, but a number of those students have work out in the community. They make the core of the group Earth Arts, that is exhibiting ceramics in and around the county. And that group started as a student club here on campus and eventually moved out into the community. And a number of our students, as they progress through our classes, meet the people who are in the club, start to work with them, and then start exhibiting. A number of our students, ceramic students, have worked, for instance, at Riverview Gallery in Havre de Grace.
Wow. Wow. That's a great opportunity, you know, providing students those real world experiences, you know, that they need to experience while they're in college, you know, to prepare for the real career. Now, you mentioned a really good point. You mentioned student clubs and organizations out there, Jim. Tell me about some of the student clubs and organizations here in the art department.
Well, currently we have two official registered student organizations that are functioning right now. We have the Student Art Gallery Association, which is very active. They run the student gallery that's just down the hall from the station here. And it's totally student-run. They change their exhibitions once a week, so there's constantly new work up in that gallery space. We also have a photography club that is run out of the photo studio, also just down the hall here from the radio station.
Ooh.
And they're also a very active club, and we can see the photographers work outside of the photo studio in the display cases there. And then at least once a semester, there is a photography club exhibition in the Saga Gallery, because some of the photo club members are also Saga Club members. So there's a connection there. We've had other clubs that have started up, and sometimes they go on a hiatus, and then if there's student interest, they come back. As I said, Earth Art started as a student club. We had a design alliance for a while. That may come back as student interest peaks. So sometimes there are ebbs and flows in the clubs, but the photography club has been very solid. The Saga club has been very solid. So it's a great opportunity for students to get involved. And I'll also mention that although it's not a club, we have a gallery on campus. The Chesapeake Gallery in the Student Center,
right,
is a gallery that shows professional working artists, and the gallery coordinator, Brad Blair, organizes the shows in there. The faculty in the art and design program work as collective curators for the shows that come in. And the last, I would say, 3-4 years, the majority of those exhibiting artists at this point are coming from out of state. So it's a pretty wide draw for those exhibitions. And then we also have a student exhibition once a year in there and a faculty exhibition once a year in the gallery. So that is a benefit for our students and for the community.
Right. Absolutely. That sounds like it's getting a really big draw. Jim, tell me, is there any artwork currently on display in the gallery?
Yes, there's a art.
I was leading you to that question.
Yeah, that's great. There's currently an exhibition. The exhibitions in the gallery tend to change once a month.
Okay.
And usually the artwork is on display for about 3 weeks, and then there's a week where the current exhibition comes down and the next exhibition goes up. So the best way to find what's going on in the gallery at any given time is to go to Harford Community College website and click on the link to the Chesapeake Gallery on the website homepage.
Absolutely. And you know, going to the website, you can see exactly what it is art-wise for all of you art lovers that it is that you could what could potentially tickle your fancy, as it were. And I am so tickled to have Jim McFarlane, professor of art and design here at Hartford Community College, in my studio. Jim, I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about the art program here at HCC. I'm going to have you back on again, sir. Thank you for your time.
Been a pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
All right. You've been with Matt and Jim McFarlane, professor of art and design, here on The Owl's Nest. WHFC, you're on The Owl's Nest. I'm here right now with Beth Johnson. She's from Edgewood Hall, and she's part of the Adult Literacy Education Program. Beth, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Glad to be here today.
You know, Beth, it really is so important, to have a GED. What does it do for an individual?
Well, it gives individuals a proactive in the job market whenever they're going to apply to a job, even if it is a job within the community. If they have a high school diploma or GED, that gives them a leg up on somebody that does not happen to have a GED or a high school diploma. So that's the first thing. It promotes that. Plus, it opens up the doors for them to pursue other goals and dreams that they might have, whether that's taking workforce development courses here on campus, certificate programs, or even credit programs here on campus.
Well, we definitely want to give our students that sense of completion, you know, and when you have that piece of paper, you know, it you really do feel that you've accomplished something.
That's correct.
Something monumental.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Especially, and when they go beyond, you know, to get their 2-year or their 4-year, you know, that's something else. That's another form of certification. And yes. the more you know, it's not a cliche. You know, the more you know, the better off chances you have at scoring, you know, that job after college.
That's correct. That is correct.
Now, there's a program, correct? There's
yes.
an advising program. Tell me about
yes.
the advising program.
So before students start classes, in order to gain the skills needed in order to pass the GED, they go through a 2-day intake and assessment program. The first day, we fill out paperwork, but we tell them about the program, give them some soft skills and perseverance and some skills that they need, whether it's obtaining their GED or also in the workforce program. And then we also do a small locator that tells the computer which pretest to give them. Then the second day they come back, do a pretest, and we actually advise them one-on-one, go through what the results were, and then place them in classes that work best with their lifestyle and their needs.
So it kind of helps to custom tailor something.
Yes, absolutely. We custom tailor for each individual student what their goals are and what works best for their situation in life.
And, you know, that makes college all that much more adjustable and easier, you know, and it just makes it less daunting, you know,
yes.
when people help them, you know, work towards something that works for them.
Correct. We hear all the time from students that there's lots of reasons why somebody might not have obtained their high school diploma in the traditional sense.
Right.
But coming back, having a support system is huge and really allows them to be able to have that support and be able to know that they have people behind them in order for them to be able to achieve what they would like to accomplish this time around.
And the advising program for GED, that begins in November?
In November, yes.
Okay.
Yes. All that they would need to do is just call my office at 443-412-2616, and I can register them for those. And those advising sessions are completely free of charge.
And that's another great service, you know, that we provide for our students here on campus, too.
Yes.
And Beth Johnson will pick up the phone, and she will help you.
Yes, I will. Absolutely.
Now you're going to get 100 million calls now. There's a ceremony.
Yes.
Yes, that's one of the events at the Adult Basic Literacy and Education Program, right?
Yes. We in June, after for anyone that has completed their GED and obtained that, we do a full graduation ceremony in June. We want you to invite your parents, your grandparents, your kids, Whoever would like to come and celebrate this with you, it's full cap and gown, processional, everything that a traditional high school graduation brings, we bring that to our GED graduation ceremony as well. And we have refreshments and celebration afterwards. It's the highlight of the year.
You had me at refreshments. Again, more memories, you know, yes, that students at HCC can take with them.
Yes, yes. And for their family to be able to celebrate the accomplishment that they achieved.
And that really is something to celebrate.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And, you know, you piqued my curiosity. We were talking before we sat down for the interview. You talked about some events. And there's workshops. There's workshops on campus. Tell me a little bit about those.
We actually offer workshops during our semester for our students to be able to come to campus, not only to see the campus and see all that we have to offer here on campus if their classes are outside of the campus. But these workshops allow the students to come and learn soft skills that are needed in the workplace that they could use. Whether we talk about what good interviewing skills are, we talk about what workplaces and jobs are looking for in employable personnel. We look at the various things that can be offered here on campus as well. So it gives them an opportunity just to explore some of the skills that might be needed out once they obtain their GED.
Would just like to expand on that just a little bit. Could you give me some examples between what, say, a soft skill would be and what a workforce skill would be?
Mm-hmm. Soft skills are like, how do you present yourself in an interview? How do you... whenever a conflict arises within a workplace, how do you handle those conflicts? When hard skills are, I can complete task A, B, and C. I have the skills. I can, if you tell me to do A, I can do A. I can. But soft skills are the personnel issues that come up. How do you communicate effectively, and how do you get along in the work environment?
And that's. Half the battle right there.
That is true. Yes.
You know, when you get into the working world, a lot of students, you know, they work and they go to school at the same
Correct.
Time. I did the exact same thing. And, you know, when you do work a job, you almost kind of develop some of those soft skills, you know, already.
Right.
You know, and that really is. That's half the battle right there. Getting along with, you know, the people that you work with. And just like you said, how do you... That needs to be taught, mm-hmm. you know, more, I think, in classrooms. How do you deal with a situation that occurs, you know, at a workplace?
Right. You need to be able to communicate effectively. You need to be able to step back sometimes and look from another person's perspective and see what they're bringing to the situation. You need to be able to... be able to voice maybe your concerns or your frustrations, but do that in a respectful way that is respectful to yourself, but also to the worker that you're working with. We also even respecting, we talk about time management a lot and how the way that you handle your time in, you know, absolutely affects the people around you and how they handle their time as well. So, you know, time management, we look at, if there is a problem, how do you go to somebody that's an authority over you and discuss that problem appropriately? So those are some of the things that we deal with and talk about.
All real-world skills.
Yes.
And skills that we want to make sure that we pass down to our students, you know, when they get that piece of paper and they spread their wings.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Out into the world.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Just some examples right there of what the Adult Basic Literacy and Education Program here at HCC can do. Beth, is there anything in close that you'd like to add? Any events coming up that you'd like the world to know about?
Like I said, we begin our advising sessions at the beginning of November. Our spring classes begin January 21st. One of the things that really makes our program unique is the individual attention that students receive, not just in the intake and advising, but also with our teachers. Our teachers really work with the students individually. They really care about the students, and we really try to meet the students' needs right where they're at. And whatever that things they're our students are working, our students are have families, our students have all kinds of life things in addition to trying to obtain their GED. So our teachers are really good about working with the students and making sure that they're giving them the skills that they need and trying to accommodate their needs as much as possible.
Well, there's definitely a complex dynamic, you know, to the life of every college student.
That's
correct. There's never a cookie cutter.
No, there is not. No, there is not.
And Beth Johnson from the Adult Basic Literacy and Education Program here at Edgewood Hall will be happy to talk to you. Beth, what's that phone number again?
443-412-2616.
Beth, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show this afternoon. Thank you. And I'm going to have you on here again.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been with Matt and Beth Johnson here at the Owl's Nest. I'd very much like to thank our guests on the Owl's Nest this week. Jim McFarlane, Professor of Art and Design here at HCC, and Beth Johnson from the Adult Basic Literacy and Education Program. So many amazing people, so many amazing things going on here at Harford Community College. I'm your host, Matt Terry, and we'll be back again next week on What's Up at the Owl's Nest. Until then, stay curious.